Welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast, the most informational and entertaining auto detailing podcast. Yeah. Hosted by Marshall Hill of Total Auto Solutions and DJ Patterson of Eco Green Mobile Detailing. Grab a pint and enjoy.
Hey everyone, Sheldon Kay here, show manager of Mobile Tech Expo. It's hard to believe we're only 2 weeks away from Mobile Tech Las Vegas, happening September 5th through 7th at the South Point Hotel and Casino. I hope you're as excited as I am. We have some really cool stuff going on. Rennie Doyle is going to do a keynote. We have lots of education sessions. We have hands-on tools in the tool time area where you can try out the buffers and polishes right on a real car. Lots of cool things, lots of exhibitors, lots of fun. I hope to see you all there at the Pints and Polishing Happy Hour happening Friday after the show. Cheers, have a great night.
Hey detailers, welcome to the Pints and Polishing Podcast. Whew. Just leaving a very filling lunch, ate way too much pizza. Probably drank too much beer for lunchtime on a Wednesday, but hey, when a local detailer says, hey, let's go have some pizza and beer, it's hard to refuse. Went to a little place for the detail queen, Tiffany. Go check her out. She's got a lot of underscores. I think it's like the underscore detail underscore queen underscore something. I don't know. Go look her up. Tiffany Mullen. She went out full time after leaving a dealership and went in to work with another company, purely contractor, to help assist, and then has now gone out on her own, trying to run her own shop. So we always like to catch up, chat, see what's going on in her world. You know, multiple questions on how to do things, right? As detailers, we don't fully understand how to do marketing. Well, how do I... Certain operations of business that are questioned. I didn't know a thing. When I quit my job and jumped into detailing, I didn't know anything other than it sounded like a good idea and I liked to clean my... I had an Isuzu Rodeo. So, you know, that's it. I had to learn it all by myself. 17 years later, it's great to be able to help. So, we had a really great conversation and it made me think of a recording that I did while at... our training event in Edmond at Rad Auto Detailing. Okay, so I want to go ahead and push this out into the podcast because there's a lot of great information that we basically sit down and I interview, in a sense, just chat and go over some training stuff with Josh from Rad and with Darren from 66 Auto Detail. Now, I want to tell you, though, that at the first, there's a bit of plug, and I end up cutting Josh off and I go, hey, come on, let's talk about, you know, the detailers and how they can benefit from this. But Josh is one of our customers. And so he was, you know, which thank you, you know, supportive of what we're trying to do. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. We try and stay as brand neutral as we can on the podcast. So I just wanted to say, hey, you know, sorry, there's a little bit of a plug from Josh. It wasn't intended. It's just kind of the way it went. So anyway, grab yourself a pint and enjoy.
We're all part of the process. Thank you.
All right, so we are in Edmond, Oklahoma at Rad Auto Detailing. Just finished up correction and coding, so we wanted to do some live Q&A. So thank you guys for all coming out. Hopefully everybody get a lot of good information.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for the time that y'all spent. I know you took time to not go make money so that you could learn to make money. So here's where you want to make it the most valuable. We've got Josh from Rad.
How's it going, guys?
We've got Superman.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Darren, introduce the lovely lady next to you.
And the lovely lady next to me is Miss Cassie. She's the brains behind the business and the work. She does all the work. I just look pretty.
And where are you guys from?
Chandler, Oklahoma. Thriving metropolis, 2,500 people.
66 auto detail. All right, so one of the things that we talked a lot about is how different detailers can formulate their business model and switch up things a little different. So we have here in Edmond a very high-end clientele list, right?
Yeah.
One of the wealthiest parts of our state.
Yep.
And then we have Chandler, which is a town of 1,600 people, which...
The wealthiest part of Lincoln County.
Does there is money there, but a different type of clientele, right?
Very good.
So with the different diverse group of detailers we have here, we wanted to open up discussion for, okay, cool, I learned how to put product on a car. I learned how to remove that product, right? But at the end of the day, how do you make money by doing a correction or an enhancement? How do you make money off of doing a entry-level ceramic versus another one? How do you do, you know, marketing? All those type of questions. So hopefully you guys have piled in those questions. I want to just briefly, Josh, give us a moment. Tell us what's been your model. How have you found, you know, how long have you been in business? Give us just a brief elevator pitch of who you are, and then, you know, how is it that you found to make money selling next level coatings?
Yep. So again, my name is Josh and I own Rad Detailing in Edmond. Before I owned this business, I worked as like a production manager for CarMax auto superstores across the country. That's where I got into detail and that's where I learned how to detail. It was all production. So immediately my mindset was going to be, how many cars could I do? And how quick could I turn them out with a big facility, like a recon center? I soon realized that that's not what I wanted to do. As soon as I really got into polishing as a hobby on the side prior to leaving and realized that I want to go for quality, not quantity. So I quit my job and opened this shop March of last year, of 2018. So a year and probably, 4 months, 5 months right there? Almost six, actually. So it's been a year and a half. And when I first started kind of getting into coatings,
I think we connected by, I got a phone call.
Yep. So
and answered a random number.
Yep.
And I remember sitting there going, God, I don't know, this, it was Phoenix,
yeah,
right?
Is it odd? Still is.
Yeah. Yep. And I was like, but I went ahead and answered it. Hey, I just had some questions on coatings. I think I pulled over and I was in a random parking lot or something. It was like, okay, come on, let's talk.
Yeah.
And it was a good conversation. And from that, dove in heavy.
Yeah, and so the biggest thing, like why I'm with Marty to start, like why we even are here, is because I talked to a couple big coating companies, and there was a lot of things that they wanted that I couldn't provide. I couldn't show that I'd had a shop for 2 years, so nobody really wanted to work with me. Or there was too many people in the area, or there was somebody almost 20 miles away, so I couldn't do it because that one person could do like 170,000 cars in the area or whatever was, you know, calculated to be out there. And so Marty was the only one that kind of gave me the time of day, and I knew that if I got the chance, I could do good work. I just needed a chance first. So, you know, I like Marty's, you know, philosophies and how he does business, and that all, I found all that out later, and that's just a good caveat to our relationship and why we really like working together. But I stumbled upon him on Instagram, and from there, that's where the phone call happened. He was the only one that answered for me, only one that gave me the time of day to be able to sell his products. And to this day, I see a lot of other people struggling with some big companies that I don't have those pain points with Marty. It's not that he comes over to deliver stuff or he's like, hey, I'm going to answer every single phone call of yours, but it's just everything he does. Like from his employees, I get little notes in my boxes and like that stuff's cool. So it's a lot more personable, like touch and a good relationship rather than just I have a sales rep. And I don't want a sales rep.
Cool. Also, let's get into the business.
Oh, gosh. Dang.
thanks for all that. But how did these guys make money? So how did you begin to grow into making some money?
So I first only wanted to install CC105. I was trying to just, you know, boost your confidence for the drive. So I first only started installing CC105. And my mindset was every job has to be 1,000 or more and they all have to be perfect. Right. I found those clients, I did really well, but there's a lot of competition in that market, and there's a lot less of those kind of people that are willing to pay $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 to have their car coated, which, by the way, does not include anything inside. So they're still going to pick their car up dirty on the inside, right? So then I started kind of branching out into Anyo and Y-Wax, and then I started saying, like, well, why am I deciding what the customer should get? Why don't I let the customer decide what they should get? So through a couple different things, and now I have a system that does that. I basically just set a floor price, say this is what I need to make on this job no matter what for this, And then I let the customer sell themselves on what they want. And then I just use education, different before and after things, videos. Phil does some stuff with us and gives us plugs on his websites too. So networking, Instagram's a big one, and not sticking to every single car has to be a $1,000 ticket or more. You miss a lot of work. And so changing your business to adapt and catch what's out there, because I have somebody say no to an $800 job, but they can afford a $500 job.
Options.
Yep. So, and again, from there, allowing the customer to upsell themselves and not saying every package has to be perfect. I could save a lot of money for a customer if they don't want two steps
of
correction.
And I think you have a walkthrough, which we'll get through.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Darren, from a different clientele, you didn't start with 105. You started very entry level for your customers. Walk us through why you chose to offer and set it out in that way.
The first time I ever saw YWAX, you showed up at the shop and we were working on a Jeep, and he goes, I'm going to show you this, and just sprayed it on the hood of this Jeep, and we wiped it off, and I'm like, oh yeah, whatever, okay, fine. We didn't see that Jeep again for months, and then it came back in one day and we washed it, and one of the guys that worked for me kind of goes, you got to see the hood of this Jeep. And I'm like, what? And he goes, watch this. And they sprayed it, and half of the hood beat it up and did great, and the other half just acted just like a normal panel. And I started stressing because I was like, what?
What's wrong?
What have we done? What is going on? And we pull back in, and we're doing the inside stuff, and I went, that's that stuff that Marty sprayed on the hood
that's
of this
cool.
Jeep.
Cool, I didn't remember that story.
And that got me thinking. I was like, and this Jeep hadn't been touched, hadn't been washed at all, anything, for months, and it did that. And so then we kept talking, and I went several different little seminars that you did and this and that, and finally one day we pulled the trigger and completely quit doing any type of wax. Like, I don't have any wax in my shop.
So once again, a town of 1,600 people, mm-hmm. This is not a city.
Yeah.
This is, and so we can imagine in Oklahoma, 1,600 person town.
Yeah.
The clientele is not looking for a ceramic coating.
Yeah, they didn't know. That's all we do is educate. We're constantly explaining what it is, and you get people who come to the door, I want to wash and wax. Perfect. We do this, but we don't wax. We've technology has surpassed wax is my little phrase that I use. And it's just over and over every day. And we market more than probably we actually work, if that makes sense. Is I'm constantly explaining what it is and what it does and why we use it and why it's better. And then 10% of your customers want to discuss it and argue about it and this and that. And then 50% don't find whatever. And then you'll have that other stuff, the other kind of 40 or so percent that you can upsell. They'll upsell themselves, or they'll hear
and
from
you
their
tell
buddy.
You talk to every single customer there's a really good saying. I brought that up just to say there's a really good saying. If you've probably heard from a really great hockey player named Wayne Gretzky, and a lot of sales trainings and a lot of salespeople will teach and use this philosophy. He says you will miss 100% of the shots you never take. All right, so first point, it going into your clientele, talk to every single one that you can, right? I know you're not,
yeah,
not everyone that you've been able to talk to, but having a product that is entry that you can have for every single one of your customers is key.
Yeah, and that's been, we don't offer anything but this. If you do an exterior package, you're getting YWAX or Anyo or CC105, but we're not putting any protection on it. I mean, we may have phobic, I guess, would be one option, but that's not really an option. We use it as a tool for something else to keep things going and looking right. And it's worked pretty well so far. Earlier in the year, our coatings kind of fell off. We did 1,500 in the last couple years or so coatings, roughly. And I didn't buy a bottle of Anyo or YWAX or anything for a couple months. And I was telling him, I was like, I guess I've coated every single car in Chandler. And then all of a sudden it's been, this last month, we've polished. Yeah, I mean, we have hammered down on stuff.
Yeah, I think you guys average one to two a day in a town of 1,600 people of Chandler, Oklahoma.
And we did two CC105s in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, so how do you guys, learning and listening to their stories, we wanted both of them to give a little bit of background of their clientele and how they've grown, because it can come and help you guys depending on who your clientele is, okay? So when you think of your customer base or prospective customer base, right, how can you use what they've done? Okay, first of all, what we talked about, automatically every single customer that you can find, prospect, whoever, talk about the coding that you use and the coding that you would recommend, okay? And then apply as many as you can, right? We joked earlier about somebody's sister was gonna get a coding or something, right? When I started doing codings, you bet. My mom got a coding, my sister got a coding. We used my sister's car, a couple months ago in a demo video because she goes through a car wash. And so we had Jake from Warrensburg down to do an IDA training where he got certified for the IDA and got his skills validation and his certified detailer. And so we stopped and did a video because we were using my sister's car. 2+ years of going through the car wash, almost to 3 years, and it's still beating up. It still doesn't have etching or any marks from bugs. We still don't have bird droppings that have affected it, and she's going through a car wash, right? So anybody that you can coat, and then redo some follow-up stuff with them, okay? I'm pretty sure that you guys each have, which you said that you document all the different customers. So how can guys start to follow up when they get later? Do you guys have a follow-up method?
I do. So I use a business service called Thrive, which we can talk more about later, but it automates everything for me.
We're going to have on the podcast, I think September 4th is the date.
Yeah. So we'll have my Thrive rep on there. He's a really cool guy. It's an awesome software. I was really hesitant at first because I didn't want to give up that control, but it's helped me so much. So when somebody comes in for a coding, I can set specific follow-up reminders where it's going to email them for an appointment. And because they've already been a customer of mine, it already does it for me. So they just, that link goes into their inbox. It says, hey, it's time for your 6-month follow-up on your coding. All they do is hit schedule. It shows them the dates I'm available for it. And then they book it. They don't have to fill in their name, their phone number, nothing. And it auto sends it out. Because before I used to try and remember it, and I can tell you I missed them, right? Even as detailed as I get on it, I'd still forget because I'm a human or 3 or 4 different places.
So if you don't have the software, everybody have a cell phone? Right?
Yep.
Whose cell phone has a calendar app? Everybody's cell phone has a calendar app?
Yep.
Everybody's calendar app have a reminder?
Yep.
Plug it in,
right? Either right after you're done or when the customer leaves, however, set yourself Bob Smith 918 or 405, you know, whatever, and put in the phone number, follow up about, and put whatever coding you put on, and set it 6 months later, set it 2 months later, you know. However, do a couple of them so that every couple months, every 6 months, you're re-following up and touching that customer. That's very valid. Yeah. Nice.
And it doesn't mean everyone's going to come back either. There's some cars I've coded that I've never seen again. Maybe they moved out of state or something happened, may have been totaled, never know. But that also has helped me keep in touch because I've already had customers get like a 2 or 3 month follow-up and they text me and said, hey, we actually moved out of state. So now I rest a little bit easier knowing it wasn't my quality of work. That's why I didn't come back or anything like that. That's always in the back of my head.
Yeah. So nice. All right. So cool. Did you have anything to add? What do you guys do?
We've been really successful on setting people up on a maintenance plan once we've coded their car. If we get one of our higher-end packages,
glad you mentioned that.
We're almost like we really talk about them. Even in the initial contact when we're discussing the setting the original appointment of setting them up on a maintenance, like we're talking about maintenance. This isn't a never-ending deal. Like it's always going to work. Like you have to maintenance. So you ain't just going to apply this coating and then you never have to touch your car again. So we talk about maintenance from the day one. So most of our coatings, I'm going to see usually once a month.
Very important. Have you guys seen the videos that are really outlandish telling people they can hit their car with a cigarette lighter and, you know, all these crazy ass shit
set
that people
it on
are
fire.
Yeah, you know, there's it, which is fine. That's marketing, right? Marketers market. Okay? I fell into that early, right? I was with the coding company that's the way they marketed. So I was banging on my Jeep and then I noticed, oh shit, I got marks on my Jeep. That wasn't too smart, right? So don't do that. Not a good thing. But there's all kinds of crazy information that is out there about coatings. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. Customer education is a great way of getting that guy back in, right? Do you want to see him in 5 years or do you want to see him in a couple months? Couple months, right? So what things should detailers be doing to help educate their customer base when they're coming in?
Like, we tell them that a coating is not, it doesn't do everything. Like, it's not going to keep it from scratching. It's not going to keep it from having marks on it and going on. But, and we show them what we can do to keep their car looking good, that we're big on maintenance, not in prevention, versus trying to fix something in months later or years later, however long it is. And that's, we just talk a lot about it. Sometimes we talk people out of coatings. They'll come in and they want all this. And I was like, well, what do you do? Are you going to take care of this? You're going to wash it once a year? What do you do?
Let's break that down. They come in, what questions do you ask?
And
what?
If we've got some, if they're going to wash it once a year, then we're probably not going to put CC105 on it.
That's, makes I'm, sense. I'm, value.
Yeah, and then the same thing for the family that comes in and they've got six kids and they pile out and their dog gets out of their car. We'll discuss I'd rather see it once a month than spend $600 on coating it and you won't see them again for a year.
Okay, but what questions, like specific?
I ask him, are you going to take care of it? Are you going to wash it? What's your plans? Do you want to do this once a month, once a year? What are you going to do? What would you like to see? And it, most of them now, we've got so many contacts at that they're starting to, they pull in, they already know what they want.
What feedback do they tell you?
Some of them look at you with
questions. What do they tell you about?
They either give you a blank stare or they go, I've never thought about that. And then, or they go, no, I don't ever wash it. I just want you to wash it. Okay. And
washing the car is one thing, and then you always get the answer of how often they wash it, right? That'll help you guys tie in your maintenance package, okay?
We have a bunch of customers that we are the only ones that wash their car. They don't wash it by themselves ever. They bring it back to us once a month, twice a month, bi-weekly.
Yeah. Maintenance is key.
Yeah.
All right, what are other questions you ask?
Rough because usually I'm out in the shop and I've got a lady that handles all that now. And she does a fantastic job of talking.
I can't, fair enough.
In the shop so much that I walk outside and they go, how much will this cost? And I'll look out and I'll go, a lot. And then we go on to the next issue. But we're such a small town, everybody knows us. Like we're in a weird spot.
So that's just washing.
Everybody knows and then they walk in and I don't even, it's weird now, I'm marketing, I'm not showing as much stuff on this is a ceramic, I'm showing how we can make their life better, because we've gone from the education, which we still do it, but it's not as heavily relied as it was a year ago when nobody in Chandler, Oklahoma knew what a ceramic coating was.
I heard about that ceramic thing you guys do, how much it'll cost to put it on our car.
But it started with the education.
Yes.
And asking the questions. Josh, what questions do you ask your customers when they come in?
So I ask them just general questions. You know, I'm going to start off with, like, how long do you plan on keeping the car? Because if somebody says, well, I'm going to sell it next year, CC105 is probably straight out of my head. Like, I'm done. And the next thing I'll ask them is, what is their primary use for their car going to be? I mean, out here, we have oil fields. We have guys that work on there. They want to keep their work truck clean, but they're going to, like we said, they're going to be out on the road for 5 weeks and they can't wash anything off for 5 weeks, and they're going to hit Blue Beacon on the way back in. That customer is going to be...
What's Blue Beacon?
It is a truck wash. Highly non-balanced pH chemicals. Spray the whole truck down. Power wash it with, hot water. It's not a good place. It's fine, but that's not the kind of customer we want, because that person is going to spend some money with us. They're going to take it out. They're going to come back after one or two trips over 6 months, and they're going to feel like they got taken for a ride because it doesn't work well, because it's not being maintained properly. So those are the kind of questions I'd want to know from them. If they're going to be selling their car in like less than a couple months, I'll politely turn down their business, because...
Let me pause for 1 second. That's a question that a lot of times people will ask. Well, how then can I maintain the car or educate the customer on how they, if they choose not to come back and let you guys wash it and they're just out there, what car washes can they use? What type of soap can they use? So ceramic coatings are chemical resistant up to 12 on the pH scale. So if something goes up to 13, it's going to start eroding away. And even at 11 or 12, that's going to be starting to tear down the coating, okay? If you put a 12 pH product on wax, immediately gone. Sealant, gone, okay? What are some 12 pH products? A lot of degreasers, if the customer goes even through a touchless car wash or that type of wash like that, that first product that gets put on is a high pH. So it's highly caustic. It's probably that 12 to 13 on the scale. And its job is to eat, okay? Its job is to break apart anything that's on paint, right? So that will begin to erode and deteriorate a coating, but it's going to still last longer than any type of sealant or wax. So that's why there's a lot of companies that have come out with maintenance soaps that are neutral on the pH scale, right? Most of your soaps are already neutral. If you get like a wash and wax or something like that, it's already gonna be neutral. Okay, so most of your normal soaps that you're going to buy from any major company, anybody at the auto parts store or anywhere you're going to buy soaps is probably going to be a pH neutral. You don't necessarily have to have a ceramic soap, but do you guys ever wash with ceramic soaps? I think you have every once in a while.
Did. Yeah, we did there for a while, and I can't tell much.
Yeah, you can't really. Yeah, yeah.
Shameless plug for a guy I know. I only use Total Auto Solutions Hyper Clean.
But it's a neutral pH, yeah. Right? Yep. So any most of your soaps are going to be a neutral pH, okay? So as long as they're not running through a touchless that's that extremely high caustic and extremely high pH, it's going to last longer, right? They can still go through. Just the education part of it is letting them know that maintenance will extend or reduce the longevity. Make sense?
So, I mean, those questions I asked, whenever I do hear somebody, I do think it's important because I am turning down money, and that is really counterintuitive to a lot of people. When I turn somebody's business down for not coating their car because they maybe are going to sell it in under 6 months, what I'm doing is planting a seed and building a relationship for when they do buy that new car. And I make sure I just let them know, hey, you know, I'll give you a call in 6 months and I'll follow up with you, because now I'm going to get probably the same amount of money on maybe a new car, which is going to be a lot easier. And now I have somebody that really trusts me as a customer, right? They're less likely to go shop somewhere else and won't come back. The other thing I ask all my customers is, what do you know about ceramic coatings? I want to know their level of understanding, because you can bore people. I'm really good at it, as you can tell, and I get really technical and geeky, and I like that. So I want to know, what do they know? They might say nothing, and I say, great, let's start with what's important to you, you know, and I ask them different questions about what's important, and then we go into false claims and why prices are different, and I educate them on that, and then last thing I do is I encourage them to go get quotes from other people. Like, I want their business because I'm earning it, not because I'm the first person who could smooth talk them into a coating. I definitely encourage people to get it. I'm also at a little bit less price point than some people, because we have different clients, we have different markets, and I want to make sure that they know their options and they know what they have. But
so
they all come back.
We'll get into some more stuff too, but any questions on when the customer comes in, how to handle the customer and what to talk about? Any questions? Oh yeah, maintenance is great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Along with the whole 6 months, you know, the whole reminder thing, that's pretty dope. Like, so it works hand in hand.
Yep.
I think that's a really great thing to offer.
Yeah.
The maintenance plan that comes.
Cool.
Yeah, on the topic of maintenance plans, I actually messaged DJ with EcoGreen last week to talk to him about his maintenance packages. So do you guys offer, or do you do any type of weekly maintenance, or is it typically longer?
Both. I would say if you can get somebody that comes back every week, you've got an incredible customer. I mean, I was built on weekly to bi-weekly business. My whole business starting off was completely maintenance. Every week to every 2 weeks, I was seeing customers. And this was 2002. So, but now with ceramics, yeah, I mean, the more you can see them, the better. And if you can talk somebody into a weekly maintenance, oh yeah, you're golden.
Yeah, that was my question for DJ, and I kind of wanted to get some feedback from
Yeah, from go for it. Darren. What about you guys? You said you guys do a lot of washes?
We're geared more towards once a month. We have people that do it bi-weekly, but once a month is about the average.
And define wash. What do you guys do?
We'll have like a basic wash and back once a month scheduled. And then
we just wash the outside.
Dust off the dash and door panels, vacuum the traffic areas where their feet go, and touch up all the windows. And just bends that way. It never gets bad. Well, it starts with a full detail, whatever you want to call a full detail. So when we don't have to work that hard at once a month on it. And then we always encourage them. So if it needs washed before this, call us. We'll set it up. We'll do that. And it's a kind of a crap game on whether how often they do it. But I don't feel I feel like calling them more than once a month is bugging them. I don't want to do that. I don't want to send them a text. I'm anti-text. Because I don't want you to text me. I want you to call me. Now, everybody else's generation is different. The younger generation, they want that text or email or whatever. So I'm really easing into that. I'll let them do it. But I want you to call me. And I feel like if I call you 3 times a month, I'm bugging you. And so that gives you an idea of kind of how we work. I'm really young. How old are you?
I am not as old as you.
Are you sure?
So we were actually born on the same day. We figured
same
that
day.
Out. The exact same day. Mm-hmm. But I was born in the morning and he was born in the afternoon.
I don't know. I don't remember when I was born.
I thought that's what you said was the afternoon.
My dad might have told. I'm sure he.
But it's funny when we caught it, we were like, you were born, wait. And it was, wait, on what? Like, and then I go, where were you born? And I think you said here.
Shawnee.
And I go, what?
No way.
I go, joking. I was Tulsa. But yeah. That would have been really funny. Same hospital and everything. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so let's, great question. Any other questions?
No, the one other thing that I had concerns about was I would feel bad as far as pricing compared between a weekly maintenance and a monthly maintenance. If it's every month, I feel like the price should be the same. But that's kind of what I talked to DJ about, is how exactly do you determine pricing every week? Is it offered at a discounted rate because it's every week, or?
Well, if you had a car that came in every week versus once a month, which car is cleaner?
It would be a lot easier to maintain the week.
So then you create the value proposition for your customer, knowing that you're not spending as much time. So yes, if you come in every week or I come to you every week, which waterless allows you that opportunity to go into somebody's garage and maintain their car.
Like, and maybe the first detail is full price. But then
yes, but you just did a coating, so that is your full price. So, you know, you coated the car, then you know, whether that's $60, whether that's $40, depending on your clientele, your need as a business, 40 to 60 to 75, I know some can go up and down, and then, yeah, if it's once a month, yeah, you're more probably like that 125, 150, 200, somewhere in that ballpark, given that if it's in that 50 to 60 that you're seeing it every week, because you're probably only going to spend an hour. Like to wash, wipe down, maybe throw a little Phobic, you know, vacuum out the car, hour to an hour and a half max.
And don't stress over right now when you're first getting started and all that. I've changed prices 100 times. We're changing prices every 4 months, it seems like. And because something will change, or we'll find a new product that we can do it faster or better or slower or whatever. You don't know. So when you're starting right now, if it's $50 you're doing it for and you're making a killing, well, in 2 months you may go, I can't do this for $50. There's no way. Well, even though you have that first guy and he's still there and a person, and you're still doing it once a week, bam, 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 and then you get their friend and you get that, you just tell them, say, I want Mark's deal. You go there once a week. All right. Well, it's $100 a week for me to do this. And he goes, whoa, Mark's only paying $25. He is, but he's on it. We did this plan. It's a little different deal. Now this is where we start, and it's an easy transition. And you think it's hard, because I go through this all the time. It feels really hard, but it's not. It'll go smoother than you think to up the price on new people or even your existing customers. And so don't get caught up on, golly, I'm not going to make any money on a $50 deal. Well,
you do.
On that one, you may not. But the next 10 that you get, because that car, they're like, man, that guy's car is perfect all the time. And they see you coming in and out. Then the neighbors, you go to the neighbor's house. Well, you do the neighbor's car for $50. You walk across the street and do his for $100 once a week. It paid off. And so don't get too caught up on your pricing to begin with, because it's going to change.
We have a maintenance customer that we've maintained since 2003. And one of the guys was maintaining two of his cars this morning. And we're in and out, right? We haven't jacked with the pricing because he's getting it clearly cleaned when he first started every single week. And a lot of my customers that we built through the years was done off of, I'll see you at 7 a.m. on Friday. And I was there at 7 a.m. every Friday. He got charged $50 every time. Did it in 1 week? How bad was it? You know, so I don't have to charge $200 because I wasn't there for 3 hours.
And you showed up, and you kept that date.
Mm-hmm.
And we have failed on a bunch of stuff that people said, well, you didn't call me last month. Oh, I'll go through and look. No, we didn't. And you're like, golly, I spent all that time working on them to get them set up on that maintenance plan. Then we failed. And you see him at Walmart, and they go, well, you didn't call me this month.
But let me say this. It depends on your customer base. It depends on your financial needs. Okay? Somebody that's listening to this in Phoenix is going to go, y'all are absolutely insane to charge $50. They're charging $100. Right? So it really depends on what your customer base will pay, how you can continue that growth process over the years, and then how much do you need, you know?
And sometimes people are understanding. Just be like, when we started, I could charge you $40,
right,
but now I have more people to pay. Right. Inflation has happened. Our products have gotten more expensive. I'm sorry, but the price is going to have to raise a little bit.
DJ doesn't charge close to what he used to charge. He's probably doubled to triple a lot of the pricing. Right, so as your business grows, yes, you can continue to increase your pricing.
And you're like, now I have more experience, so you're getting a better product anyway. So we're
four times as high as what we are when we started.
Yeah. So like you said, don't get caught up in pricing. Yeah. Give it a good value to them so you can get customers and make sure you're making some money. Great question. Anything on that? We ready to go into marketing? Done with the customer that's come in? Cool. Let's go into the marketing side of it. As we've already said, there is, give me one sec.
Because I'm interested to see, because like a guy that does it kind of on the side and get it here and there, and I know a couple other people that do it, and they'll talk to me a little bit about what they do, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you can do this and this and this and this, and I'm just like overwhelming you with information. Is it helping you, or does it make you go, crap, that ain't what I want to do?
No, it's like, this is what I want to do full time, you know? It's hard for me. It's like, I have a job that pays me like $20 an hour, and I work over 50 hours a weekend. So, I can tell on weekends, and I make pretty good money at it, but how do I quit that job?
Yeah, so what he was saying, if you guys couldn't hear, he does it on the side, and he's trying to go into doing it full time. Yeah, this is your end goal. So how do you get there, right? A lot of it starts with, right, that's that's the foundation, right? We get that established. A lot of that's what you're going to call your processes, okay? I know, Josh, you're big on processes. You've already talked about it. DJ's huge on processes. His whole business is run literally like a corporate-style setting. There's processes and paperwork for everything. Right, a lot of it he's put into just his own system that his guys carry around a tablet. Okay, so, but getting your underlying processes written down and started in, you know, where you're at will help you go into being able to jump full time. And the best way to be able to jump full time is to jump.
Jump.
Yeah. It's tough, right? You're gonna go, oh gosh, I got mortgage. Trust me, I get it. Like. So, but the best way to know if you can do it is to do it. If you do it and fail, right? Let's go there. Let's say you do it and a couple months in you fail. What happens? You go back to getting a job, right? Okay. If you do it, or let's go this way. Years later, you look back, like, it's okay. You know, I tried it. Years later, you look back and you never tried it, you'll regret not trying it. Okay? Now, you also got to know if you've got the skill to be able to go full time or to be able to learn the skills to go full time. And one of the best ways to do that is to learn marketing. Okay? We are no longer just a detailing business. Josh is a perfect example of that. You guys have really started to blossom lately in understanding that detailing is literally just one aspect. We're not just detailers. We're business owners, and we have now become marketing companies. Full-scale media. How do we have that opportunity? Because this amazing guy named Mark Zuckerberg was trying to figure out ways that, you know, from the movie, I don't know if the movie's real or not, but, you know, how you can match faces and do it. Like, social media has given detailers the most amazing opportunity to market for free. When I was full-time mobile detailer, I had print, right? I made postcards. I made flyers. I made stuff that I had to go hand out, right? I had a website very early into it, and websites, not everybody had them, but that was the other way. I had a website, but in 2002, you couldn't market a website, really. The only way you could market is tell somebody, hey, I got a website, right? So the other thing would be if you had radio, you could spend thousands of dollars on radio. Those are your core ways of marketing. Or we can use this whole free platform that nobody else in history has ever had the chance to use. What does it cost you?
Zero.
Financially, it doesn't cost you anything.
A little bit of time.
Not a little bit of time.
A lot of time.
It takes a lot of time to learn the proper ways of marketing online and on social, right?
Yeah.
Hours.
Yeah.
The detail queen from Tulsa,
yep.
She has gone through a little bit. She's saying this week she's had to close down in the afternoon because she didn't have enough to do and she just went home. Cool.
Darren didn't let you that got... happen with ours. So
okay, I get it.
People, Darren, he's taking off.
He's going to go get it. But
businesses and asking them, hey,
a lot of people aren't outgoing like that, right?
So
how can you spend that time, whether you close down and go home or not? How do you spend that time? And that's what I told her. I said, cool. That means you got hours and hours to start learning how to do social, start learning how to do videos. Oh, I don't know how to do videos. Cool. There's a really great website, G-O-O-G-L-E. How do I make videos for Instagram? It'll send you to this other really cool site called YouTube. And there's going to be somebody that did a video showing you how to make videos. It takes hours and hours to learn. I spend countless hours trying to learn, well, can I use this app or can I use that app to create a video? I found an app that works, and then it's tough for me to do it. And so a lot of this content that I just made today will take me hours and hours up till late at night, doing it early in the morning, trying to figure out how do I put in music? How do I put in the words? How do I make fancy stuff? Like, it's all kinds of stuff to do. It's free financially. It consumes your time. So the quicker you can get going when you're slow or wanting to start, the more time you can invest early to learn, the faster you'll catch on and the quicker it'll grow, right? Josh does a lot of Instagram marketing using stories, using people to come in and take videos. Josh, walk us through those processes of when you started to learn, okay, I need to start getting my name out there further. I'm growing, but how can I use all this technology to grow my business?
Yeah. Real quick, I just want to touch on what you said earlier. So it is hard, man. You don't know until you're in there, and you'll never know until you do it. I wish I'd have done it 10 years ago. I needed the experience I gained from CarMax, but I moved my family across the country, then looked at my wife and said, hey, why don't we quit the job I've been at for a decade and have tenure at to do this in a place where we have no family, no friends, nothing. So it is hard, man, but you'll get there eventually. So the way I used like Instagram and Facebook to kind of build the business and market more was I didn't have a lot of money at the start. You know, we opened up the business and that's all we had. So all I had was time. I listened to a guy named Gary Vee. I like what he has to say. And so I'm not really smart on that kind of technology platform. So I watched a lot of videos and like that's all I did. I went to CarMax. I'd work my eight. On the way home, I'd listen to videos on how to make YouTube videos and how to make posts and, you know, different stuff. And as the business progressed and as I started getting the hang of it, and then I'd see people respond to one thing but not respond to the other, then I started talking to guys like Phil who had a lot more knowledge, and I started networking more and just gaining a better insight. And ultimately, now the reason I don't spend money on advertising is because I like the process of trying to keep my business running on free posts, free information, workshops, you know, partnering up with people to do things for them. That's all been really cool for me. And now I have like this huge, cool following on social media. I mean, it's only like 2,000 people, but it's cool to me because it's my little thing that I made. And I even get people that are like, hey, we want to make sure our car gets a picture in front of your shop. Like, it's a thing, you know, and I never envisioned that off being consistent with my photography. If I had never been consistent with my photography, that never would have been a thing. And so some things you're going to find out by accident. Some things will be really good, you know, and some you're going to really have to work at. The biggest thing is just patience and consistency.
So let's talk about the actual post, because I think a lot of times as detailers, and maybe I'm saying that in a general statement, but maybe you guys have professional photography skills, or yep, you're incredible at editing photos, or I don't know, but majority of people aren't, right? So how does a detailer snap a photo for a post? What type of things should they be doing?
So through my posts or stories or whatever, I'm trying to document the process. Yeah. So I want to make sure I have before and afters, but not just a before, like here's a clean car, here's a dirty car, right? Like, I want to show a little bit about what we're doing, like, hey, we're vacuuming, or hey, we're polishing this. Sometimes when I get something in this really cool, or I want me in it.
If the car comes in with a specific need, right? Because we already have asked the questions. Yep. We understand what the customer's wanting. Yep. So then to use that information in your post is very valuable, right? So take
it
the before.
It becomes educational.
Yep. And in your post, and even you take three or four through the whole car, in your post, the first one maybe is the before shot. Yep. Here's the car that came in. The customer was specifically needing this, right? What we're doing there is we're telling people the story, right? And they'll follow the process, but we're also throwing out a shotgun in a sense. And when you shoot a shotgun, not every bullet hits the target if it's a long shot, right? If I'm closed barrel and I'm shooting here, right, he's dead. But if I'm shooting you with a shotgun, you're probably not going to get hit with every little BB type of deal, if you know what I'm saying. But it's going to hit somebody, right? And that's the point. You need to tell people why the car came in, start to explain the story, and that's going to specifically target somebody else that goes, maybe it was the kid spilled, you know, something in the backseat. And then when that guy, maybe somebody read it, and when they go down the street and they pull into McDonald's and they go, I spilled in my drink, you know, what's going to click in their head? Oh, wait, there was this guy that was showing a video of cleaning, right? You get my point?
We did the paint last week. Yep. We cleaned paint out of a car last week, a whole gallon. Posted it, documented it. Yep. I showed like from before to middle to tear down to partnership to end. Stored it all out in the comments and everything. And I can tell you, it was probably a bad idea to do it hindsight, but I've gotten like 4 or 5 calls in a week about, hey, I've got paint in my car too. Can you get it out? And I don't pay for that. That's just something I put together and like traded my time. Now I'm getting the leads from it. So it'll bring you more business, you know, and you just gotta be real intentional about what you're doing and real deliberate about, okay, take the time to take the pictures, take the time, you know, if you can't afford a full-time photographer, which I know I can't, and most of us can't, it's expensive. You've got to think through that stuff. You got to think, okay, well, what's going to mean something to these people? And you got to break it down in layman's terms. You can't say everything's a paint correction. You know, you can use that as an educational term,
when
but
people put one step paint correction. I did this. No,
yep.
Tell people.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of bullet points. It's like we wash iron or the wash decon, you know, all this
means,
stuff.
Yeah.
And then even when you abbreviate a technical term, it's like you lose people. So you can say, hey, paint correct. We did a paint correction on this car. Paint correction is the process of, you know, and then explain it, you know, and then people start to kind of get it a little bit more, but it's got to be educational. It's got to be a story. People follow that better. I still do 50-50 shots, you know, just to throw some cool stuff in
definitely.
And mix it up. And so I think the biggest point is like, don't get stuck in one way because it'll work for a little bit and then it'll soon fizzle out and you'll have tapped that like little vein. Then you need to, once that starts happening, then you need to switch on to something else. Maybe more stories. I know we talked about that where posts were doing good for a while.
So pause for a second. We said stories. So we meant in your post, you tell a story in a sense of in marketing.
Yeah.
The best way to market, if you watch TV commercials, right? A lot of TV commercials are a story. They're showing somebody do something. Okay. That's what we meant by telling a story. Now he means in Instagram or Facebook stories. Everybody know what those are? There was a guy here earlier that he didn't know what a story was,
okay.
So I helped him record his first story. Everybody else, it's okay if you don't, but everybody know what an Instagram story is? If you don't have Instagram, you don't.
So
you don't know.
It is owned.
It was Instagram's answer to Snapchat.
Yeah.
Instagram tried to buy Snapchat, and they didn't let them. And what is about 6 months later or so, Facebook. Once they came up with the technology, Instagram goes, oh, yeah, watch this. So that's why Instagram has filters and all that in their stories.
YouTube
but oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, you spend a lot of time on YouTube. I spend very little. Yeah. Which we've already talked about. I completely missed that one. So Instagram stories are little segments, okay? They used to be 15 seconds, but now they're extended to even longer. So the post, right, the post that you make, then throughout your day, the point of stories that I find the best value for my customers is to describe and document the process, okay? So here, the post you do, you know, here was the before and after, and then the whole way through, you're showing segments of cleaning the car or what you're doing or, you know, the dogs or other things. You know, you don't have to be the same thing over and over. Be creative, right? Watch TV commercials and watch the way they hop through things, why they show this and then go to this. And that's the point of stories. It allows you to be the one that's creating everything. You are now the creator. You're now the what's the guy that's telling everybody what to do on a set?
The director.
Director. Yeah. You are now the director of your own marketing company.
We like to keep our social media business-like, but still kind of informal, so it lets people feel comfortable to interact with us. Like, we've been told that we have way more people comment on our stuff than a bunch of people, but we make them feel comfortable enough to talk to us on social media. We don't, you know.
And our stories are all the crazy stuff we do. Like,
right, that's what
I mean.
Yeah.
My kid fell asleep in a car blowing it out and is literally asleep.
Yeah,
and
that was super funny.
That's on our Instagram story. They were riding their bikes around the yard and jumping and thought they were really jumping high and they were getting that far off the ground. And we videoed that. And so there's all kinds of crazy stuff
that's
on it. So it's not all about cleaning cars. They feel like they know us. And I'll have people come in and go, where's your dog?
They relate. Yeah.
And
so speaking of Gary Vee, he talks about how people go on to social media for two reasons, right? It's escapism. They want to go on and see something else and escape from what they're doing. And so you have to, escapism, you have to bring them entertainment normally, right? So that's what he's talking about. Bringing entertainment value to your stories and or information. They're going on social media to get information. A lot of that was seen early with Facebook getting recommendations, right? Hey, who do you guys recommend for such and such, right? That was a big way to get somebody to, and, you know, and people would tag you if somebody asked for who's the best to clean a car, right? Information. So then in your stories, documenting what's your process and all that. So how do you do that?
Yeah, so the thought that I took towards it was I'm engaged with people on social media. Almost like 90% of my business comes from Instagram and then word of mouth from people on Instagram. I also want to be able to capture their car, like the whole process. So somebody connects with me on Instagram and then I'm going to take my stories, and throughout the day they can watch their car get cleaned or get coated, you know, and different things. And we had a guy here yesterday that had a Venom sticker on the back of his car. And I plugged in an Eminem song where it's the whatever song that is, where he talks about Venom. And so, like, that's where you start building longer term relationships, and it connects it all. It's cool. And so that's what I use the stories for. The post is about, like, okay, here's the before and after and all the documented detailed pictures and the long story about what we did to educate people and allow them to read it. The stories are where I have a lot more fun. It's more engaging. You know, I'll shout waiting on Will all the time when he's backing up a car like a grandma, you know, and people get a
hashtag waiting on Trey.
Yeah. So like that's
people
where
people would start hashtagging us waiting on Trey.
Yeah. So my stories is more where like I cut loose and just engage with people and have a lot of fun while still being able to show the content we're doing. Like I'll say waiting on Will and then, you know, I'll say somebody's handle and like, hey, we're bringing in, you know, Marty Hill's Challenger now to get coded or whatever, and now he's getting tagged. Now
that
he's getting
guy
updates.
Must be awesome.
He must be.
Now he's getting updates. Because I don't own a Challenger, and, but that dude, I tell you, I want to meet him.
In my head,
though.
You did. You know, but that's how you continue the connection. So each one's a little data point, you know, for you to touch base with the customer and other people to see what you're doing. And I'm also a really real person. So I mean, you guys saw, like, I vape in here. Marty knows I have drinks in here. I put everything on camera. I want people to make a decision based off my culture of my business. I don't want to pretend to have a suit and tie on here. I don't swear in front of my customers, obviously, you know, but it happens in the shop on occasion.
I don't fucking either. I don't understand how you guys do this.
But, you know, the story allows me to be real to my customers, and then they're buying me and my brand, not just saying he has the best price and can polish good, right? Like, we're putting all that together. I've had people that have asked me about it, and I'd rather people want to do business with me, not have to do business with me because I'm the cheapest or the best or whatever. So,
all right, so questions on Instagram and that type of marketing. None? How much does it cost you? Financially? Zero. It costs you your time, which is your most depleting asset, right? It's always ticking. It's always gone.
The only thing I want to throw in there with Instagram, a website called Best Hashtags. Hashtags matter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Thank you.
How they matter. Think hashtags like groups, and there are certain people in groups. And so imagine like dropping a picture in a group of a million people, the chances of someone seeing it are slim to none. But if you drop a picture in a group of maybe 100 people, some people can see it. But the more people see it, the more visible it becomes. So
yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much for mentioning that. So you guys should each go to in your town, right? So here in Edmond, he should use that side or use Google, you know, whatever. There's, you can just say, hey, what are the most popular hashtags in Edmond, right? He should not be hashtagging detailers of Instagram. Okay? The reason why is because a detailer in North Carolina is not his customer. A mom that's over here at Target is his customer. Okay, so find the most influential, the biggest hashtags for your local area and use those. That's the best way. Give me, that's the best way to get somebody. And y'all might not do it, but the reason why hashtags are there is because people will literally for hours, this is their escapism, will go and search stuff that they are interested in under hashtags, right? So it's not just hashtag Edmond, but it might be moms of Edmond. It might be beer in Edmond. You know, there's people that sit around, whether that's on a lunch break or a smoke break or at the stoplight, or I pull up to a stoplight and I immediately grab my phone. I don't search hashtags, but a lot of people do. And for whatever it is they're interested in, if you can pop in to that split moment where you can get their attention because they searched that hashtag and you happen, what you were saying, happen to be in that hashtag, you have a chance. You have a chance. And that's a better chance than you ever have had before. And it's the best chance you'll have versus the next year. Because as we've began to play on Instagram and learn, we're seeing, as Gary Vee talks about, that's one feed. The more people hop into that feed, the more chances your customer or prospective customer is going to land on somebody else versus you if you don't put in the time and effort to be in their feed. And that doesn't necessarily mean just one post. The best success we've seen is multiple posts with different videos throughout the day and a whole list of stories as we go. The better chance that somebody will get it because, which Gary talked about, Coke hasn't started advertising on it. Budweiser hasn't, you know, the big brands aren't piling into that feed. But you guys remember Facebook, they did. And Facebook got crowded and it is crowded. Instagram's getting crowded. There'll be another one that comes out later that we can hop on where not as many people are crowded. But right now the hot ones are starting to get crowded, so you have to put in even more effort or spend money on boosting and creating actual video advertisements and doing that type of work. All right?
And I remember you mentioning that the other day when I talked to you about doing that, finding those hashtags.
Uh-huh.
Could you go over that again on how you find those hashtags?
Yeah. What was the website you said?
Well, best hashtags are going to get you the most popular hashtags for that niche. Because the thing is that you're going to be doing things that you can't just
hashtag that no one's gonna, because people have to like, people have to like whatever that. Yeah.
Well, I think you were saying basically like you could have some hashtags that have 100,000.
Right.
And then you have some hashtags that are 5,000.
Right.
So it takes time
yeah.
to go and search yeah. which hashtags have the most posts. And I think your point was it's not always being in those. You should put some in those
right.
because so many people are looking, but there's going to be so many other people putting hashtags in. So finding something yeah. that's a little more niche, I think is what you're saying. So
yeah.
moms of Edmond might be a good one that only has 5,000.
Right.
And it's not as many people hopping in, but your chances of being seen.
It's like a ranking science.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Algorithm, I think is what they call it.
Right. And then the nice thing, too, is that with the Instagram posts, when you start to rank on Instagram, you also start to rank on Google. And the biggest thing I'm going to also say is make sure to geotag every photo. Every photo you take, put a location with where you are, what you've done, because things get searched or things pop up in search browsers based on geotags. So that's another thing too. Make sure to fill out every little bit of information you can when you post something.
I don't do that.
Well,
and I've started to learn to do it. My problem that I run into is I'm doing that and then 50 other things are running through my mind of what I've got to do and I rush through it, right? It takes time. Yeah, I'm glad yeah. you mentioned that.
So geotagging is very, very powerful.
Yeah, and you can even geotag another, like if you're trying to talk about, maybe you want to branch out of Edmond,
right?
And you want to have somebody in, what's another local town?
Well, imagine
you
this.
You could geotag into that
like,
town.
Imagine this scenario. So like, let's say you do a mobile detailing or whatever, and you did do it at some kind of dealership. Let's say you went to the dealership and did a detail there. You take a picture there, you geotag it. Now you have access to all of the dealership's people too, or people that like the dealership, even with their hashtag and things like that. So it's almost like you're just
all kinds
stealing,
of
not
it.
Stealing, but you're just accessing their pool of people mm-hmm. because they've got people there that bought cars from them or that are interested in them, or they got family members. And then when someone sees that you're friends with a friend, you're like, hey, that's a friend. You know, they're going to add you and they're going to like, and it's going to help rank and basically just help visibility. It's all free.
Yeah.
It's all free stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks, man. What do you guys use?
So I do use Best Hashtag. It does show you popular ones, but the biggest thing that I do is I stop and think, with this post, who am I trying to target? So who's my clientele for this post? Okay, if I wash this car and I think it turned out really good, I don't need somebody from Texas. I'm looking for somebody from Edmond, somebody who's in a certain, you know, they like certain things, or they live in maybe a rich part of town, so maybe like Deer Creek or something like that. I know there's a lot more money out there. I might tag them. Do I want the bigger job? Hey, lifted trucks, people with trucks, or off-road trucks, or I tag like off-road addiction in there, hashtag them. They're a lifted truck building company right here on the same road as me. So, each one of those, you just got to get in there. If you like cleaning minivans, hashtag mom life. Right? You know, it's probably a big one, but those are the kind of things that as you start going, you'll start thinking of more and more and more, and it's endless how many there are out there, but you only have a certain amount to put in, and so you'll start getting more deliberate and figuring it out. It's a lot of trial and error on what really hits well.
And the best thing about that is you'll actually start to get organic people that start to follow your account that are local and that are interested in you. So they're just going to like your videos, like your posts just because they follow you, which then helps you.
Or share it,
yeah.
And then their friends will see it.
Yeah, if you can get them to share, that's even more, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so that is Facebook and Instagram. That's only two, right? I haven't even really talked about YouTube.
Powerful.
Hadn't even talked about LinkedIn, right? There's a lot. Haven't even talked about Snapchat. I know somebody mentioned it, but haven't really talked about Snapchat. Haven't really talked about TikTok, which is now starting to grow. I mean, as you can see, we're not just detailers, but don't just clean cars. We now have a whole business that we have to do, and part of that's an entire marketing staff created by the two things that God gave us. Hopefully, you know, each of have 10 fingers and two hands. What was it? Who was it? I think it was Jake from Warrensburg, or now it's Moonshiner, did the grinding in 1909, and it showed a guy like digging coal and putting it in a thing, and then it was, or maybe it was 2000 and or one, whatever, 100 years ago, and then now it's it showed somebody with their, you know, with a phone, you know, and they joked, but like, that's, to me, that's great. Like, literally, I'll spend 3 to 4 hours a day, at least, if not more. I wish I could spend more. On weekends, I love weekends because it doesn't mean I sit in front of a TV. It means I sit in front of a TV that I barely watch, and I get to work.
And Marty will do something on his Instagram. I'm like, how did he do that? Then I have to go figure out how he did it so we can try and do it later. Our Instagram, we only have about 300 on our Instagram. Our Facebook, we have about 1,030. But so we need to push our Instagram more to try and get most of our Facebook followers. And I've posted it on our Facebook a couple of times, trying to get people to come over to it.
One thing to clarify for everybody starting, because I fell into that trap, and I know Phil could probably back me up on it. Followers does not equal amount of money. It equals your reach, that's good. So like sometimes, like, so, okay. So the mobile business I bought in had 9,000 followers on Facebook, right? And my partner would always be like, hey man, like you only have 800 and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, we make exactly the same amount of money. Yeah. It's about like, so having a big following is important to me because I want to have a lot of people to talk to and bend their ear and like chat with them. But the higher number, you want that because it gives you more people to talk to, which in turn could bring you in more revenue. But just because a shop has 4,000 followers, like there's a new detail business here that's been open for less than a month and they've got almost 5,000 followers now. We know those are bought. That doesn't make them money. So just remember that when you're starting your business, don't get caught into buying followers. That doesn't mean you're going to be popular or good or make a lot of money. Good educational content, hard-earned organic followers will do that, and then the money will just keep coming. Followers are just cool. So keep that in mind.
And we don't rely on Facebook. Like we've been to every business in town just about. we go to community things. We do the Halloween thing. We go to all our parades because we do Christmas parades. They do Memorial Day parades. They do a bunch of parades. So we'll go throw out candy. We'll put our logo on stuff, like, market constantly.
All right, so last thing, we talked about marketing in a general form of detailing, how you should market your detailing business.
Our car has our logo.
Yep. Specifically with coatings, because that's what we came in and we learned about. How can we use social marketing specifically targeted at helping to sell or grow our coating business?
Transparency. I think there's a lot of people out there, like Marty said earlier, that make a lot of high claims. I think just telling it like it is starting, you know, to become a really good thing, and people are liking to hear more of that. It's not a super thing. It's not going to make your car indestructible. You can probably set it on fire and it may be fine, but like, we don't sell it on that. So a lot of transparency, showing people what goes into it and breaking it down for them, really gives you a lot more leverage on the dollar amount side when you're asking, like, hey, yeah, it's $800. I have some people that fall over and they're like, $800 to, like, I would wipe something on my car. And I'm like, well, no, it's not wiping something on your car. It is at the end, but here's a list of stuff that goes in. And so that's where we use the educational part to sell the coating, but then also being able to do show and tell, like, hey, you know, we've got a Raptor we wash every single Monday on a maintenance that we coated a year and a half ago, and I still put it in there and say, hey, you know, year and a half update, like, here it is, still beating, still sheeting, we're not doing anything other than just washing it, like, no smoke and mirrors, no gimmicks, that's how it is. But past what I can do about it, I always ask anybody that we give a ceramic coating to, like, we'd like a review if you have time, like, whatever you thought of our business, whatever you think of the product, like, if it's 6 months from now, let us know what you think and put it out there so other people know, because we just want to be transparent and sell a good product.
Do you, which I know you've had some people that come in that do work here with you, yep. And I think you did his car, right? Like,
Have it in Y-Wax, and we're going to do his Mustang in CC105 next.
Cool. So I think what I've noticed that you do really well at is that you engage your customers that come in, and then you encourage them, right? If you are happy with the work, please, and you tag them in the post, right? You get their Instagram, right? You get customer data. I think is a very common thing that businesses do is get customer data, and then you use that customer data and you say, hey, this is your Instagram. I'm gonna tag you when I make the post about this, and then you ask them to share that then probably, yep. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll ask them to share it. And a big thing is I don't incentivize reviews or anything like that. I don't incentivize sharing. I want to do such a good job and be so honest and transparent that like people are guilted into giving us reviews and sharing our content because they want to feel good about what they're doing to help us out. And that's so important because so many people think if I just throw money at it, this is gonna be good. And it is short term until the money stops coming. You've got to build a very strong brand around a culture of like raving fans for your business. And it's more than just a business. When we go out to Cars and Coffee, we don't go there to sell. We just go there just to talk to our customers and hang out and have fun. And that's important to them. People don't want to be relaxing and getting sold. So all those little things all equate to a good culture and a good brand that will start selling itself eventually. On a long enough time frame, people just want to come here just because they know it's the rad dad or whatever. I might have my stupid straw hat on, you know, or whatever they get their picture in front. Like, who knows what it's going to turn into, but like, that's the cool part of the journey and process. And being able to sell this kind of stuff online through a phone was never something I dreamed was ever going to happen. And it seems so far-fetched until you're in it.
Like the other day, a man posted a review of us and he was like, they're awesome. And we hadn't even gave him his car back yet because he had had it coated once before. And before he even got his second coating back, he reviewed it and said we were awesome. And then he came back and got his car and he's like, oh, it looks wonderful. So he trusted us enough to say we were awesome before he even got his second car back.
I think for you guys, specifically if people are wanting to do a lot of maintenance washes, a great way of using Instagram or social to help your marketing for maintenance, that somebody has gotten a coated vehicle. You know, what's super popular for detailers to spray with water and show hydrophobics. But then they miss the whole close, right? In sales, there's always the lead up and then you've got to go for the close. The whole close is, hey, if your car doesn't look like this, we can help you. Or, hey, this is what a coated car does. Here's what hydrophobics is. Here's what hydrophobics means. Here's what it does. It's showing the protection, blah, blah, blah. By the way, if you don't see when it's raining, if you don't see this on your car, it means there's a chance you're going to get damage, right? Using that. If you're going to get damaged, you better bring it in so that we can help. You know, there's all those different ways that you can use maintenance and using all the ways that people put out photos, but change it into actual a marketing campaign to specifically target and then capture.
Always make sure to tell our customers, we're like, we're human, we make mistakes, we miss things. We're like, if you see something, come tell us about it and we'll gladly fix it for you. Like,
sure.
You find something, you're like, why didn't this hit out? We're like, oh, sorry, we just completely missed that. Or we're like, well, that's not included in that package.
Yep.
Like,
that's good. Go ahead.
If you can capture like a reaction on video too and get that posted.
Oh, yeah. Which I think you guys have done. Yeah,
yeah, that's money. I've got a couple of those. Doesn't happen every time. And like, it is also weird to like start filming somebody. But, you know, the point would be just keep your phone going. And I had a guy, we did his Lexus, just, you know, nice, easy polish, coat, whatever. And it's on my page. You can see it. He flies across the parking lot running going, holy shit, like his hands on his head. And like, he's super excited about his car. And that, like, that goes so far.
And they're making a joke because the car looks so different. Or there's those people that are, like, they're just, like, nonchalant
they pull up
about
it.
And don't
let
them discourage you because they just don't, that's not their thing.
Yeah. Those people are the reason why I stopped doing $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 coatings. Because we would spend, DJ and I early, right? Because like I said, we were with this and we were doing these big and it was just, we would spend literally 18 to 20 hours on the car and then they would just go, oh man, looks great. Hop in their car and drive away. It was like, you don't know what we just did. Like, and it just looks, okay.
It's still red.
It, yeah.
So those customers are always funny. Yeah. Right? All right, cool. We did want to be respectful of your guys' time, but we also want to make sure that you got everything you wanted out of this. So if there's anything else that you have in your mind, any other questions, now's the time. Do what? Oh, I stopped carrying cards. at Total Auto Solutions. I'm just
joking. Gotta go on Instagram,
I just,
I've got him.
Yeah.
I've got his
stuff. I'm just joking with you.
No
question. Anything else from anybody else? Any other questions? Yes, sir.
It came up, this ceramic stuff.
I'm sorry? I think originally, I mean, there's guys that'll post on forums that, you know, 6 or 7 years ago they started. I know one of the earliest ones I did would have been, I did it when I was still in a warehouse in Jinx, and that was the first place I had after I started out of my house in 2010. I think it was like 2012 when I first got to move into an actual warehouse, and it was a POS that I only spent like $300 on, like rats. It was infested. Like, it was rough. Dirt floors. Like, and I had put a coating on there from OptiCoat. And that would have, it would have been like 2012. So, you know, and they had already been around for a little while. So coatings, you know, 9-10 years. It's just, the way the market's starting to climb, that's why it seems like over the just the past couple years that has really been starting to take off. And I'd say it's over the next couple years that for daily drivers and all those people that have been driving out on the streets, that's when they're really starting, because we've already got hybrid waxes that are sold at the auto parts store that they're saying it's ceramic infused. You can go through car washes now that they say they're putting ceramic coating down on. That's just the way the, that's just marketing. That's just the way it's going to go. So people get so upset. Oh, you can't say you can do this on a coating because it's depleting the value. Bullshit. No, those customers and those people are going to go find the value that they want. We're not depleting any value, right? You're just picking out your clientele. Daily drivers are going to find whatever they want, wherever they want. It doesn't deteriorate the value of ceramic coatings. It's just, there's different levels. There's different grades. There's entry level. There's DIY. There's auto parts. Is the same wax that you buy at, you know, the auto parts store the same as you bought, you know, from a high-end, was it the, when you can get that super...
Yeah,
I mean, so there's all different levels, right? So, but it's now really becoming very, very mainstream. Yeah.
And to further the social media stuff, in 2009, Instagram and Facebook weren't a big thing, and no one really knew about it. That's kind of when coding started coming out and started coming become like popular. And now you get hit every day in your pocket on your cell phone with all kinds of information, and it's all like tagged and woven together for what, you know, your custom tailored experience. So again, coatings are becoming more mainstream because you're hearing about it more and more all day through social media, your friends, your family, everything. It's all happening faster, and that's what will happen with your business when you use it the same way.
And then Google's blown up, so you hear it and you can just be like, all right, I'll Google it and see what it is.
And then they go to YouTube and watch videos.
So it just means that all that information is going to hit you faster.
Anything else? Thank you guys so much for the time. I know, like I said, you guys value your time. Thank you for spending it with us. Josh, thank you for opening up your facility. This we love it here. Thank you guys for coming down.
We're going to start doing work here.
You're going to start bringing cars here.
Great.
All right, man. You guys have a great day. Thank you so much. Hey, DJ, guess what's in a couple of weeks?
I don't know yet. Wait, what's going on in a couple of weeks?
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
I figured you were going down that road.
Yeah. You ready for Vegas?
I am ready for Vegas.
Huh?
Vegas twice in a year now, though.
Ooh. Yeah. Good for you. What else are you going to do while you're in Vegas besides hanging out with me?
Do I have to hang out with you, though?
You do, damn it!
Nah, just Ben. I think I'm going to hang out with Ben.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And you can hang out with us if you want to.
Wow.
We're going to this really nice prime rib place.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if y'all want to come hang out on Friday night at Mobile Tech, Ben wants to treat everyone to
a prime
rib.
Ben is taking us all out.
We are going to get together with Ben from Narwhal Trailers, and he wants to go eat prime ribs. So, but wanted to make sure DJ still wasn't a vegan.
He did. He texted, hey, are you vegan, vegetarian, or what's up now? It's been
like,
years.
We're like, we'll probably be at In-N-Out, but you know.
Dude, In-N-Out. So yeah, that's where I'll be in a couple weeks, In-N-Out Burger. Let's go back and rewind this.
Anyway, coming up, Mobile Tech Expo. We've got Ben from Narwhal, DJ and I doing an environmental discussion. on how to be profitable as a mobile detailer, but yet being environmentally conscious. And DJ and I will also be doing a discussion on how to build a brand.
Yep.
There's nothing more important really right now for detailers on that side of the business of marketing than learning to how to build your brand. So it's going to help everybody continue on for years of great sales and service and continuing to grow their business. So DJ, thinking of Vegas, what is it that you are most excited about?
Honestly, meeting new detailers.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. Definitely.
Well, cool. Well, we hope to see everybody there, Mobile Tech Vegas. And we're also going to be doing a little pint night, right? A little pint happy hour.
A little happy hour.
From 3 to 5 on Friday.
Are you wearing your beer socks?
Ooh, with my flip-flops? Beer socks and flip-flops.
You can cut the toes out of them.
I don't know about that, DJ. All right, we'll see everybody there in Vegas.